So I just want to share a few things with you this evening. Then we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. But I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to begin at verse 14. I didn't have enough time to make a nice fancy slide this evening. So Matthew chapter 17. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this time together in your house. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to your people. Thank you, Lord, that you don't let us down. And thank you, Lord, that as we gather here tonight, that we can honor you, we can listen to your word, and your word changes us and empowers us to go. And so now we ask that you would speak powerfully to us through this word tonight, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth in the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.'" The message I want to share with you this evening is simply entitled, "Bring Him to Me." Bring Him to Me. Jesus says here in the middle of this passage of Scripture, as we've read the story, this man's son is possessed with the devil. He brings him to his disciples. His disciples obviously tried something. I don't know what they tried, because they asked the question, why could we not cast him out? So they must have tried something. I don't know what they did, but they tried something. Whether they prayed some type of prayer or threw holy water on him or danced around, or I don't know what they did. But whatever they did, they were unable to do so. They said, "I brought my child to your disciples and they couldn't cure him." So it wasn't just that they brought him and the disciples said, "We don't know what to do." They brought him and the disciples tried something and it didn't work. And now Jesus says, "You're faithless, you're perverse, how long am I going to be with you? Bring him to me." That's a very powerful statement, is it not? Now, I remember when the times that I've really been able to be a part of Camp Zoe, one of the things that I normally did was help with the fishing. And anytime you fish with children, you don't really fish, right? Because you've got the whole day in which they're needing a worm put on their hook or something of that nature. And every time they catch a fish, there's some kids that really want to try, but you've got to kind of save the fish, right? There are kids that try to get the hook out of their mouth. And if you don't get there fast enough, their guts are probably going to be out with the hook, right? But most of the time, the kids will pull the fish out and then they stand there with it up in the air going, "Look what I got." And then you have to say, "Bring it to me. Bring the fish to me so I can get the fish off so you can go back to fishing." And they're always want, you know, here they come. "I lost my worm." And you got a hook like hanging in front of your face. "Please put a worm on there for me. You know, there's a fish." You know, I remember one year John Dolan pulled a fish off and he turned and he went to toss it back into the pond and it landed in this girl's hair. We didn't see it. We didn't know. I was standing beside John, and when he threw it, it like disappeared. I was like, "John, did you see where that went?" We were down looking around the pond because we didn't want it to be flipping around out in the grass, you know. So we're looking around and looking around. We gave up. I mean, this was like 5 minutes later. All of a sudden, that girl's like, "There's something in my hair." How she didn't know in 5 minutes. But anyway, bring it to me. Those of you who have small children, you understand that statement. Logan's at the point now where he likes to try things on his own. And, of course, Avery likes to do everything that Logan does. And so Avery's, you know, he's not even 2 years old yet. And he's trying to put shoes on and coats on and trying to zip it up. And they get frustrated. And you say, "Just bring it to me. Bring it to me for just a second." And when I look at this passage of Scripture, you know, lots of times when we try to live our life, and we're going through the trials of life, the battles of life, the ups and downs of life, the good times, the bad times. There are times in our life where we really feel like that we have to keep control of our life. Anybody else out there? Is there anybody else out there that every once in a while you're that kind of person that when you're trying to do something and somebody comes along to help you, you're like, leave me alone. Mitty's pointing at you, David. Leave me alone. I'm going to get it myself. I'm that kind of person. If I'm trying something and I can't get it and somebody comes here, let me do it. I'm like, no. And of course, that might be, obviously, that's normally an element of pride, isn't it? That's probably something that a guy does. It's an element of pride that says, no, I don't need your help. You ever been trying to think of something, like you're trying to think of a name of a song or trying to think of a name of a movie or something and you don't want anybody to help you? I know what it is. I don't want you to tell me. I'll think of it. Lots of times we're those kind of people. We like to take care of things ourselves. Because lots of times when we run into people, lots of times people just don't care. You ever had that happen? What you're going through, they don't care. They might act like they care. They'll nod their head at you. And, you know, some of you, even during sermons, you'll say amen, but you don't care what I'm saying. You appreciate. Hallelujah, Mark. That's right. Okay, anyway. But you bring sometimes problems to people and they're like, ah, I don't know that I even care. Or you can bring things to people and they just don't know. I don't know what to do. So they just kind of stare at you. I don't know what to do. And according to this situation, they brought this boy to the disciples and they didn't have the power to do anything. But I want you to know something this evening. First of all, Jesus cares. Jesus knows. Jesus has the power to do something with what's going on in your life. But here's the situation. You have to bring it to him. And sometimes that's the hardest part, is bringing it to him. And you know, this is really simple what I'm sharing with you tonight, because I want us to get our minds, as we are going to spend a little bit of time in prayer tonight. I'm going to switch this in just a second, but I just want you to think about this. How many times have we been in church services and altar calls have been given, but we didn't go forward for whatever reason it may be? Maybe we say, well, I've been one too many times, or what is somebody going to think of me if I go forward? Well, my problem really just isn't that big of a deal. That's what a lot of us think, whether we want to admit it. I know I've had people say that to me. You know, Mark, I wanted to have you pray for me, but I just feel like there are other people that need prayer more than I do. Let's just be honest. We can always find somebody that's worse off than we are. There's always somebody that's going through something that maybe seems like a bigger deal than what we're going through. But I want you to know tonight, God loves you. He loves you and where you are and where your situation is. Big, small, whatever you want to call it. If you want to look at it and say it's no big deal, it's a big deal to God. That's what blows my mind. We take things and say this is not a big deal, but it's a big deal to God. Now, it was a big deal, obviously, to this father that his son was demon-possessed. That's a massive deal. And the Bible says that oftentimes he even threw himself into the fire and he threw himself into the water. This was a big deal for this man. But he looked out Jesus because he knew that Jesus cared, he knew that Jesus knew, and he knew that Jesus had the power to do something for his son. But we keep God at a distance many times in our lives because we don't bring it to him. But the thing is, he can't heal it if you don't bring it. It's our nature to hide our pain. It's our nature to hide what we are going through in our lives. And instead of allowing God to deal with it and bringing it to him, because sometimes even though we do bring it to people, we're not really looking for a healing. We're looking for someone to cry with us, aren't we? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. The Bible says I'm supposed to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There are times where you don't know what to say and you probably shouldn't say anything. There are times that we probably say way too much, don't we? We go to funerals and we try to show comfort and end up saying more than we really need to say. Because most of the time they just need your presence. They just need to know that you care, that you're there, that you're going through what they're going through, that you want to encourage them and help them and lift them up no matter what they're facing or what they're going through. But I want you to know something today. There are lots of times that we take things to people because we want to deal with surface issues. And I've been challenging you with this, especially on Wednesday nights, that I believe that God wants to do something in us as a church that goes way beyond the scratches and the hurts that we see on the outside. It's easy for us to say, yes, we need to stand and pray for John Dolan because he has cancer. And Mike, he has cancer. And Chrissy, she's battling with cancer. Those are those kinds of things where we say, that's a big deal. We should pray for those people. But there are people that are sitting in church Sunday after Sunday that are struggling with depression and discouragement. They're struggling with fear and uncertainty and doubt in their lives. They're struggling with a marriage that they're barely holding on to, children that are addicted to drugs, and they're afraid to say anything because of they might be judged or they might be looked at wrong. Or instead, they put on the show. And so what we end up doing is we deal with our pain with Band-Aids. We cover up our scratches, but we don't do anything with what caused the wound in the first place. I know that if I went to a heart doctor and I'm having trouble with my heart and the doctor said, here, just take this home. Put this Band-Aid on your chest and come back and see me in a month. Would you think he was a quack? Hey, you got four blockages in your heart. I want you to take this Band-Aid home, put it on your chest. Now, that would be great if that's all it was it took to heal it, wouldn't it? Yeah, let me put this Band-Aid on my chest. Because the problem is you don't need a Band-Aid. You need a heart. You need a heart change. You need a heart healing. And lots of times in our lives, we come to Jesus when we think it's a big thing. But we're still bringing Jesus only surface situations. God is wanting to penetrate into our hearts where we are and heal us from the inside out. But you've got to bring it to Jesus. I want you to know something, that God is actually attracted to our brokenness. God, the Bible tells us that the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise, the Bible says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The Bible tells me that God is looking for those hearts. The Bible says that God actually looks to the heart that is humble and broken before Him. And so in order for us to bring to Jesus what it is that is keeping us broken, we have to deal with our pride so that God can do something in our lives. Amen. We don't want to admit it because as faith people, we don't want to say out loud that we're going through something. I'm a faith person and I walk in victory and nothing ever happens to me. And we know that that's not true, is it? We know that we all go through times and issues, ups and downs in our lives where things don't turn out the way we wish they would have turned out. And it may not leave the surface a bruise or a scratch on the surface, but it does do something down on the inside of our hearts that nobody else can see. And so many times I believe we have missed out on what God has wanted to do in our lives simply because we won't bring it to Him. Simply because we won't allow His mercy to reach to where we are and recognize, hey, every one of us in this room today need Jesus. Every one of us in this room today need His grace and need His mercy and need His strength and need Him to breathe on us to make it through the next day. Every one of us in here must learn to be dependent people upon Jesus. And in being dependent people on Jesus, that means we have to deal with our pride. I know that I've said that and I will reiterate it again. If we are going to be dependent people, then that means we have to deal with our pride. Because our pride stands in the way of us bringing what needs to be brought to the Lord. Our pride stands in the way of us even beginning to admit that we have something to bring. I'm not saying necessarily that every time we come to church that we're necessarily supposed to bring something for somebody to pray for. I understand that when we come to church, we come to worship. We come to lift up God. We come to fellowship. We come to give. We come to serve. We come to hear the word. We come to be there for each other. But at the same time, church, This is where we gather together as the people of God, in the presence of God, in His mercy and in His grace. And this is a place where people should be healed. This is a place where people should feel free to be who they are and admit where they are and then bring that to the Lord. God is attracted to our brokenness. He's attracted to those who have learned to be transparent with God, that have nothing to hide. I've said this before, and I want to challenge you again. Whatever we keep hidden controls us. No matter what it is in your life, if you hide something, then it controls you. And so the only way that we can know true freedom is to bring something to the light, to bring something to the grace of God. But I want to shift this for just a moment, because Jesus does something here when the disciples come and ask him about it. He says to them, "You perverse and faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. I care. I know. I've got the power to do something about it. Bring him to me." Amen. But they ask him, why could we not cast him out? Now, again, I don't know what they did. I don't know what they tried. But for some reason, the disciples came up short. But Jesus asks them with a very, very blunt answer, because of your unbelief. He didn't say that because you didn't know enough Bible scriptures or because you didn't have a bachelor's degree in theology. He didn't tell them it's because you're not me. He said it was because of your unbelief. You couldn't do anything for this boy because you had unbelief. And then he said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." I'll end with that before we go into prayer. How about that? But I want you to notice something about the shift that Jesus does here. He tells the disciples, first of all, bring him to me. Why? Because Jesus can do something about it. There are times that we bring things to people and they can't really do anything about it. But anytime you bring something to Jesus, he can do something about it. But Jesus makes a sudden shift here and he says to them, in so many words, that if you have faith, if you'll walk in faith, then you could have done what I did for this child or man, whoever it may have been. I know it was a son. You could have done what I have done. Because if you just have faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move and it'll move. And if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. I think that Jesus is making a shift here saying, bring him to me, but I have called you to bring me to them. See, in this situation, disciples, you couldn't do anything about it because you weren't walking in faith. But I'm here. And because I'm here, I can do something about it. Aren't you grateful for that? And, in Kevin, talking about worship tonight, when we spend time in praise and worship, God's presence comes here. And I want you to know something. You can get healed right in the middle of praise and worship. Your depression can be broken off your life right in the middle of praise and worship. Discouragement can go. Doubt and fear can leave right in the middle of praise and worship. Not because somebody's singing well, not because the keyboard sounds just right, not because they're singing the right song, but because Jesus is in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, he can do something about it. Amen. But here's the thing. Jesus is saying, I want you to not just bring people to me. I want you to bring me to them. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say, and it will do, and nothing will be impossible with you. If you would have operated in belief, then even though I wasn't here physically, you could have brought the power of God to them. We started this year talking about being a difference maker, that God has called us to be a difference maker. And we're not going to be difference makers based upon our own talent and our own giftings and our own abilities. We're not going to be difference makers because we're smart enough and because we can do all the things just right. One of the things that I read in the Forgotten God book that we're going to be doing for one of our life groups. And one of the things that he pointed out, and I thought was really interesting, he said, if we as a church can explain everything that we do without the Holy Spirit, then we're never going to accomplish anything. In other words, if we can look around us and say, we're doing really well, we're growing, this is happening, and this is happening because we've got natural talent, and we've got natural ability, and we've got natural things, then it won't last forever. But if we are seeing success and growth and God move because we're learning to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, then that changes people's lives. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you can have a good, strong church if you've got some lively music and a charismatic preacher and you've got some nice people that shake hands and you've got some people that give money in a tray. You can build a decent church, but people may never leave that church changed. People may never leave that church saved or delivered or healed or set free because they may have had an encounter with someone's natural gift, but they haven't had an encounter with God. And so the Lord is calling us to be difference makers, not to be difference makers just because we have some giftings and some talents, but to be difference makers because we have left this place in the power of God, walking in the name of Jesus Christ, and we are taking Jesus to our generation. Listen to what I'm saying. When you do something in the name of Jesus, you are doing that with the power of heaven backing you. When you do something in the name of Jesus, it is as if Jesus is doing it himself. I believe that that's what Jesus was trying to get across to the disciples. Disciples, you don't even need me to be here physically. You just need to believe. You just need to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that's why Jesus could say something so crazy to the disciples. He said to them, "It is expedient. It is good for you that I go away." Now, surely the disciples probably were looking at each other thinking, this guy is crazy. We spent probably at that time at least 3 years, 3.5 years with Jesus. They've seen Jesus do all these miracles. They've listened to his teachings. They've felt and experienced his love. Thinking that this is the Messiah that's going to build his earthly kingdom on this planet. And then he turns to him and says, "I'm leaving, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm leaving. Why? Because if I don't go, then the Spirit can't come and fill your life. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills your life, Jesus said he will be a comforter, another one just like me, but he won't walk with you. He will be in you." You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that those of us who are born again, who have the Spirit living on the inside of us, have a closer relationship with Jesus than the 12 apostles did before the Holy Spirit came. I know that seems crazy because all of us, I'm sure, one time in our life would have thought, man, it would be really great if Jesus would just show up here physically and do something, or Jesus would physically show up and talk to me. How many of you have ever thought that before? Huh? Yeah. It'd be great, God, if you wrote it on the wall for me, if you don't mind. I'd really appreciate it. But it'd be really good if Jesus would just walk right beside me. It'd be fantastic to do that. But according to Jesus and according to Paul, according to Scripture, the Bible tells us that because Christ is in us by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we have a closer walk with Jesus than the apostles did and the people that walked with him physically on this earth. And so Jesus is saying, because I'm leaving, the same power that raised me from the dead, the same power that hovered over creation and made the earth come into existence, the same power that anointed Jesus with Nazareth to do power and good works, is the same power that rests on the heart of every believer that walks by faith. Don't just bring people to Jesus. Take Jesus to people. Our challenge is to invite people to church. God, I believe that God has called us to let our light shine. But even inviting people to church, it shouldn't just end there. We should take church to them. I haven't always done that. It's always been, why don't you come to church? I remember, you know, I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I was really excited about Jesus, and I was witnessing to everybody, and I'd tell people about hell, and you're going to hell if you don't get right with God. I was a fire and brimstone preacher. But I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and I think I shared with you one time, they threw their bike down, and they said, I want to pray right now. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to lead someone in prayer, so I told them, you have to come to church with me on Sunday. I don't know what day it was. I'm sure the fear of God rested on them if it was a Monday. You got to wait till Sunday. Hopefully you don't die and go to hell before Sunday, because I can't help you now. But there's a lot of times that we're like that. If you'll come to church on Sunday, then maybe things will go right with your life. But it can't just end there. We've got to be Jesus to our friends and Jesus to our families. Because when we go in the name of Jesus Christ, we don't have to wait for an elder to lay hands on us or the pastor to lay hands on us. Every single one of us in here are believers. And the Bible says that if you are a believer in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Are there any believers in here this evening? The Bible says that all of us are priests. All of us have been called to be priests, to stand in the gap between God and man and represent God to our generation. So yes, it's good to bring people to Jesus, but Jesus is waiting for us to bring him to them. So Jesus is not just saying, bring him to me. He's challenging us, bring me to them. Bring me to them. Now, this last verse is actually not found in a lot of Bible translations. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I believe that if we are going to be the people that God has called us to be, that carry Jesus to our generation, then we have to be people who are prepared to be filled with his power. And it is not a comfortable and a popular thing to talk about fasting or to talk about prayer. But I think that God is renewing a fire in us for prayer, at least, in this church. But I believe that God needs to renew a lot of disciplines in our lives again. To get back to the discipline of spending time in the Word. To get back to the discipline of fasting. Of denying our flesh. Of putting down the desires of our flesh. So that we might learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fasting doesn't change God, but obviously fasting puts us in a position to hear from God and to be used by God. Fasting shows God that we are serious about what he has called us to do. That fasting shows that we care enough about people and we love God enough to set aside something that we need and we want so that God's glory may be revealed. And this is what happens when people decide to make a difference. They decide that I am not just going to be people of words and plans and ideas, but I'm going to put action to my love towards God and people. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to obey. And in doing so, it brings glory to the Lord. I think in this day and age in which we're always on the run and we've got so many things on in our lives, that there are times that we've got to slow down long enough to say, my flesh needs to be put under so that God's Spirit can operate powerfully in my life. Our challenge tonight is not just to bring people to Jesus, but to bring Jesus to them. But are we willing to pay the price that it takes for God to empower us to do what he's called us to do? Are we willing to be people who count the cost of what it takes to follow, truly follow Jesus and walk in the power of God, that we might see our generation changed in Jesus' name? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. We're going to prepare our hearts for a time of prayer over the church and for our services next Sunday. But I want us to just focus our attention on the Lord for just a few moments so that God may speak to our hearts. I believe that there are a lot of folks here tonight that you're here because you have a commitment to follow Jesus. You have a commitment to see God do what he wants to do in your life and at Living Faith Church. And I really appreciate you being here tonight. I really appreciate your commitment to the Lord and your commitment to what God has called you to do. But I'm issuing a challenge to you tonight to look and see where you are in your spiritual quest and your spiritual journey with God. I believe that God is wanting to do above and beyond anything we can imagine or hope for. That God is the God who wants to manifest Himself in the supernatural. But maybe we're not seeing God move in our lives like we would really like to because we've not placed ourselves in the position for God to do in us what He wants to do. I believe that the Lord is calling every one of us, first of all, to bring our hearts, our brokenness, our hidden places, our dark places to Him. Bring Him to me. Jesus can't heal, He can't fill, He can't move in your life if you're not willing to bring it to Him. And so you may be in here this evening and maybe you're not struggling with cancer, but you're struggling with depression or discouragement or fear, hanging on by a thread, financially weighed down, emotionally weighed down. Your marriage is a mess. The Lord wants to heal. The Lord wants to encourage. The Lord wants to strengthen, but you have to bring it to Him. You have to bring it to Him so that He can heal you from the inside out, because for us to be difference makers, we've got to allow Jesus to make a difference in us. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and the Lord has been calling you to go and to be obedient, to walk in His power, His authority, and to take Him to your generation. But whatever has been holding you back, I'm going to give you just a moment to consider what the Lord is saying to you. If you need to bring something to Jesus, whether it's a hurt, a pain, an area of your life that needs to be dealt with, whether it's sin or disobedience, you need to bring something to God. Let's not just glaze over this and allow God to touch us on the surface. But let's allow God to touch us in the depths of our hearts, in the depths of who we are. I'm going to ask Natalie to just sing for just a few moments. If you can and you will, why don't you stand to your feet? But let's just keep our mind and our eyes focused on Jesus. Tonight, if you need touched by the Lord, if you need to bring something to Him, I'm asking you, would you come now in Jesus' name as we focus our attention on the Lord?